Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything You want with me, at any cost. Work Your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
Love is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Ever been tempted to do that? When Lars and I had been married just a couple of months, he said something that hurt me. Can you imagine? That sweet man, he's so polite and so courteous and just so gracious at the book table and all that, but I don't know what he said. I've completely forgotten it now, for which I'm grateful, but he said something that hurt me. And I went to bed that night, and some of you women can identify with this. I was lying stiff as a board, as far as I could get on my side of the bed, and I did not want him to touch me by so much as a fingernail. Because it was his fault, you know. He did this, and he was the one that was supposed to apologize, wasn't he? Because he knew the Bible just as well as I did, that you're not to let the sun go down on your wrath. And of course, what he said to me was out of his wrath, but of course now I was full of wrath because he had not yet apologized. So I'm lying there, praying and saying, "Lord, when is he going to apologize, and when is he going to realize?" And just chewing over in my mind, keeping a record of wrongs. Not only that thing that he said to me, but what he said to me the previous Tuesday, and that other thing that he did, and making a long list of records of wrongs. And while I'm waiting for him to apologize, what did I hear? Absolutely oblivious to the fact that I'm lying there stiff as a board with the tears running into my ears. Snoring away, perfectly peaceful. I was furious. Love is not angry. Well, of course, thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit reminded me that I was the one at fault at that point. Whether he was at fault or not was none of my business. I better get straightened out before the Lord. And so I got out of bed, I went into another room, and I opened my Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. And I put my name, Elizabeth, in the place of the word love. So if you've got your Bible and you're looking at 1 Corinthians 13, try that sometime. Elizabeth is patient. Elizabeth is kind. She does not envy, she's not boast, she does not boast, she is not proud, she is not rude, she is not self-seeking, she is not easily angered. Elizabeth keeps no record of wrongs. Well, it was a screaming farce, wasn't it? To be saying these things in the presence of God and putting my name in place of that word love. Elizabeth does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. She always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. I have to start by loving that person who has hurt me. And that has to be a willed choice. It is not a feeling. If I am going to wait until I feel good about that person, or until I've forgotten all about the awful thing that person did to me, it's going to be a very long wait, and I don't know that I have that much time. I don't know that I have the next second. As my husband will say sometimes when somebody calls and says, "Well, how's Elizabeth?" He'll say, "She could go anytime." And that's the truth. Any one of us could go anytime. Who do we think we are to say, "Oh, well, I'll feel better about him next week, you know, so I'll do something sweet for him next week, but I'm not going to do it now." If I am going to start by learning to love myself, it is going to be a full-time job. And I don't have that much time. And I am never going to learn to love my enemy. And I am not going to learn to will against my feelings and will to love that person, will to get out of that bed and go and get on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me, and you deal with Lars. He is none of my business. The love of which Jesus speaks can never be directed toward oneself. The love of which Jesus speaks can never be directed toward oneself. What is this nonsense about learning to love ourselves? Well, I can never learn to love somebody else until I've learned to love myself, because nobody ever loved me, and I've never learned to love myself, and I have a very poor self-image, and I really hate myself. And so I have to work through all those awful feelings, and maybe someday, way down the road, I'll be able to start loving other people because I will have learned to love myself. Nothing could be more diametrically opposed to the message of Scripture than that foolishness. Jesus said in John 15:12, love each other as I have loved you. He does not say, love yourself as I have loved myself. He doesn't say that. We are to give up our right to ourselves. Those are the conditions of discipleship. The very first one, give up your right to yourself. My right to an apology. It's true that person offended me. That person really did sin against me. Maybe somebody went off with your husband. Maybe somebody went off with your wife. Maybe a business partner ruined your business so that for the rest of your life you're going to be in debt. Terrible things happen, don't they? God allows terrible things to happen. But he continues to say, love each other as I have loved you. If I want to be his follower, I have to give up my right to myself. That's the first condition. The second is to take up the cross. And the third is to follow. And Jesus made those very clear when he was speaking to his disciples. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. And that word scares the living daylights out of us, doesn't it? Oh, we're in denial. Jesus said, that's where you have to start. You got to deny yourself. Forget about yourself. Give up your right to yourself. Just turn it all over to me. And secondly, you will not be able to do the second thing if you haven't done the first. Take up the cross. I can't do that if I'm loaded with myself. I have to empty my hands and take up the cross and follow. Each depends on the other. Number three depends on number two. Number two depends on the first thing, which is to give up your right to yourself. Now, if impatience is my nature, I have no excuse to say, well, Lord, that's really the way you made me. You know, I'm just an impatient person. I can't be patient, not like her. Oh, she's such a patient person. No, you be patient. Love is very patient. Patience, in other words, must be my choice. My feeling is impatience. That's emotion. My choice is patience. That is obedience. A willed, deliberate act of obedience. Love is kind. If unkindness is the treatment that I have received, love is the treatment that I must give in kindness to that person who has been unkind. Unkindness is the treatment. Love is the response. Envy, love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. And when you envy somebody who has what you don't have, what is the actual cause of that envy down deep in your heart. I should have had that. I deserve that. She didn't deserve that. And it's a refusal to rejoice with those who rejoice. If someone has received a great honor, or somebody has won the lottery, or somebody has got the husband that you were hoping to get, you are full of envy, and it makes you angry, and it makes you mad at God because God didn't give it to you, he gave it to the wrong person. And the command is that we must love. Never mind how you feel about that person. What are you going to do about it? Feelings versus act. Rudeness. If rudeness was the treatment you received, what is the treatment that you are to give in reciprocation? Courtesy, kindness, thoughtfulness. Love is not easily angered. Doesn't say that it's never angered, because the more you love a person, the more angry you may feel when you know that that person is sinning. But be very careful that you're angry and not sinning. I was angry and sinning as I lay in bed that night. What is the antidote to anger? A gentle and quiet spirit.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.